Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Vice Admiral John Harvey, Chief of Naval Personnel and Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Manpower, Personnel, Training, and Education. Also joining us in our conversation is Bob Leibmeister, partner in IBM's Human Capital Practice. Admiral, would you tell us about the Navy's strategy for our people? How does this enable the Navy to assess, train, distribute, and develop its manpower to become a mission-focused force that meets the warfighting requirements of the Navy?
Sure. There are two very distinct but interrelated components on the strategy for our people. The first part, the people side, starts with understanding and defining the workforce of the future. What is the work that our sailors will have to do? What are the knowledge, skills, and abilities that they're going to need? And then how will these knowledge, skills, and abilities be utilized on our ships and aircraft and systems? So that's the people side and understanding the work that those people will have to do. Then there's the business side, which is how will we transform our existing processes that govern all those activities I just described to ensure that we deliver, you know, the skilled sailors we need to have who can do the work we believe we're going to have to do. Now, the goal of the people side on the strategy for our people is to define the future Navy workforce, and then what is that human capital strategy that will govern how we recruit, train, and manage them for mission accomplishment. And the business side is taking a look at my domain, if you will, manpower, personnel, training, education, bringing those together into a single value chain and focus that value chain on getting the best value from the people we bring in. So it's two pieces put together, and that's what comprises the total strategy for our people.
Along the same theme, Admiral, could you elaborate on the Navy's new Sea Warrior program? How does this enable a more flexible and responsive development and deployment of the total Navy workforce and provide sailors with more control over their careers?
Yeah, Sea Warrior is how we've brought together the training, education, and career management systems that provide and govern the growth and development of our people. Sea Warrior is how we look at this in a holistic fashion. At the heart of it is giving the individual a real input into their own career development, their buy-in, if you will, to the Navy. You know, for 200 years, we sort of told people where to go, what to study, and what to do. What we need to do for the future is bring these individuals in, make them part of that process, put them at the heart of it, because it's their future that we're trying to bring together with the Navy's future. And if we get that kind of buy-in in terms of career management development, then I think we really unlock the full potential of these folks when they commit to us for a career. And so that's the growth and development of our people. Then there's that piece I talked about, better understanding the work and what it is that the future is going to demand of us, and then relating that work to the mission and to the capability that our ships and aircraft have to provide. So at the end of the day, I don't want to just say a sailor delivers on a particular job. I want to be able to say this sailor delivers this capability to the Navy and to the nation.
Admiral, you've talked a bit about this. It's really a newer focus on skills, capabilities, competencies, some people call them. Can you elaborate a little more on what you think, how that's going to impact the future force, and what are some of those skills and capabilities you think are going to be more in need?
Oh, sure. And this is really exciting stuff, and I mean that in the fullest sense of the word. I mean, since 9/11, we have been coming to grips with the rapidly changing global security environment that we're going to have to deal in today, 3 years from now, 10 years from now. And so if you have these kind of rapid changes and this very new demands on our sailors of what they're going to have to be able to do and where they're going to have to be able to do it, then we look at where we've been traditionally. We've sailed to the Pacific, to the Atlantic. We've sailed in what I think of people have this vision of the victory at sea Navy, you know, their view of what we did in World War II. And now we have to expand that, you know, so dramatically in places we haven't gone before, mission sets we haven't done before, that type of thing. And so as we bring that together, how do we look at the capabilities that have changed that are going to be demanded of our sailors? And then with those different capabilities, what are the bundles of competencies, those knowledge, skills, and abilities that we have to bring together? Because we're getting beyond, you know, single sailor, single job. This is the real breakthrough concept, I think. We're looking at A single sailor brings a competency, a group of competencies that enable that individual to go in many different directions for us, because that's the kind of flexibility and agility that our force is going to have. So therefore, it must be the flexibility and agility that our people are going to have as well.
Great. And if we take that down to a specific ship, there's a relatively new ship coming to the Navy, the Littoral Combat Ship, and a program called Train to Qualify that will help enable those sailors that man those ships to be fully ready when they arrive. Can you talk about that?
Well, absolutely, because this is dramatic change that is driving a lot of what we've just been talking about. The Littoral Combat Ship is our newest ship. We've just launched the first one, the Freedom. We expect to commission it and place it in service in July of next year. That ship will have a basic crew of about 40 sailors doing what a ship of that size used to take between 180 and 220 sailors to do. Obviously, when you change the math like that, you have to change some other things very dramatically as well. One of the things that we no longer have the luxury of doing is putting a sailor on board that ship and then taking the 4 to 6 months to qualify on all the various jobs that sailor may have to do. Because they're only 40 and because they operate as such a coherent and cohesive team, that sailor must show up ready to go in all respects with the knowledge and the ability to deal with all the different watch stations, to do the specific functions and skills that we require. A very different concept, and so we call it train to qualify. Train before you get there, be qualified when you get there. So we get the maximum out of that sailor right from the minute he or she shows up to the ship.
So there's really no more on-the-job training with this new model.
Well, there's always on-the-job training, I mean, no matter where you are and what you do. But it's going to start from an incredibly high level of proficiency. And so I would call it not so much on-the-job training, but really, you know, the enhancement of the team that you start when you get there. The training we're going to have to provide before that individual shows up.
Great. There's another dimension to development, the Navy's professional military education continuum. Could you talk a little bit about that, what that consists of?
Yeah, one of the things that we've talked so far about in the show has been the rapid pace of change across the board that we're having to deal with. And so one of the ways we deal with that is recognizing that at every step in a career, we want to be sure we're investing in the individual, officer or enlisted, and that investment is in education. How do we keep that individual current? How do we help enable the critical thinking for that sailor that enables her to do what we need them to do in a very uncertain world? And so it starts with a required reading list that we now have. Wherever you are in the food chain, you know, at the lowest level of our enlisted ranks or the most senior officers, we have a required reading list we think you need to execute and absorb in order to be proficient in what we expect you to do. And then at every step in the career, we feel there's going to be some points for professional military education, for a particular graduate education, and then for joint military education, because now we fight as a joint force. There's no Navy-only or Army-only battles anymore. So we try to blend this in across a career, both for our officers and enlisted, so that we're always bringing them more new topical knowledge to help them develop and be more effective in the jobs we expect them to do.
Admiral, you referenced the dramatic changes in the landscape that occurred since 9/11, and I would imagine that the Navy is seeking to develop and enhance its foreign language skills, its regional expertise, and its awareness of foreign cultures. Could you tell us about some of the key initiatives that fall under this effort, specifically your language, regional expertise, and cultural strategy?
Yeah, this has been a very significant line of effort for us since 9/11. It was really in the most recent Quadrennial Defense Review, and this is the big review that went through in the last year within the Department of Defense saying, okay, what does our future look like and how do we as a Defense Department respond to that? Obviously, we were part of all that. And a big piece of this was understanding what our language requirements are to be effective in the future. We don't just go to Europe anymore we don't go to Hong Kong where they speak English. We now going throughout Indonesia. We're going into Africa. We're going all around the globe in places we never really used to engage that much before. So how do we do that? It's not just language. It's the expertise, the cultural awareness, those things you just mentioned. So we've stood up a new foreign area officer program where we will educate specialists in each one of these areas that we have strategic interest in for the nation and the Navy, and we'll build around them. They will serve as naval attachés. They will serve in key policy positions to be sure they bring that detailed area knowledge into our policies, our programs, and the decisions about what we do and where we do it. We're realigning our personnel exchange program. If you looked at where we sent our officers and enlisted on the exchange programs that do so much to develop a really good mutual understanding with other navies and other nations, you'd see we are perfectly aligned to the foreign policy of 1806. So we need to get that up to 2006, and that's what we're doing right now in terms of our exchange programs. Heading south and east, we're not so much focused on North Central Europe any longer. Languages, we just finished about 138,000 individual assessments of our sailors in 274 different languages. I was stunned at what I learned about what our sailors already know. And now we're taking that baseline and saying, okay, where are these strategic areas that we have to have a far better linguist capability, which is really native speaker type capability, and then just awareness where you can engage with someone but not necessarily in a perfectly translated way. What are those requirements? Where are they? And how do we fill them? And so we are very focused now on developing that program to be sure we cover all those areas. We've stood up down in Pensacola in our training command a center for language, regional expertise, and cultural awareness to help centralize how we train throughout the Navy on just those very particular areas. The first test case of that is we're sending a Riverine squadron over to Iraq, and so they're getting language, they're getting the cultural piece, you know, the tribal culture that exists over there, obviously the different ethnic backgrounds that are we're reading about so much every day today, making sure that they go in understanding the fundamentals of language and the fundamentals of culture within which they'll be expected to operate.
How's the Navy transforming its personnel function? We will ask Vice Admiral John Harvey, Chief of Naval Personnel and Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Manpower, Personnel, Training, and Education, to discuss this with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.